Welcome to Ape TV. I'm your host, B Ridiculous. I'm here with founder, CEO, Rug Doc. How are you doing today?
Hey there, I'm good. Glad to see that you're doing well.
Yes, you too. You too. Now, Rug Doc, making DeFi safer one review at a time. Tell me, how did this useful product come to be?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is our goal, making DeFi safer one review at a time, which is a lofty goal, but I think we've been doing pretty well. So let's see, close to a year ago now, one of my friends and my husband's friends who was in crypto and knew that we were in crypto literally like called us up and was like, hey guys, y'all are in crypto, but have you heard about this DeFi stuff? It's made me buckets of money. And we were like, no, we haven't, but please tell us more. And so he literally like sat down and walked us through like, you know, basic yield farming stuff, and then was like, yeah, have fun guys, like hope you also make buckets of money. We quickly took a look around, I think on PancakeSwap, because that's where he like dumped us off at. And at the time, PancakeSwap was a little less popular than it is now. So the APR were actually, you could get some pretty high APR on PancakeSwap with, you know, like still complete shit tokens, but still some pretty solid APR. And so we immediately like threw ourselves in like some like 1200% APR pools and we're like, wow, damn, like, you know, if this goes on, we're going to become like billionaires in like approximately like 2.5 months. Yeah. Cause we were just like, wow, with compounding interest and 1200% interest, like we're going to be billionaires in like 90 days or less. So we were like, sweet. Went to bed, woke up, and hey, actually we made money. And so then we started poking around off PancakeSwap a little more and we found some farms, started staking in them. We were like, wow, we thought 1200% APR was good. Look at this. This says we can get into 30,000% APR. We're going to be billionaires in like 40 days or less. So we promptly like threw our entire bag into this farm. It was called Molten Swap. And I think I played natives because I was like all about that APR. And my husband like staked his like actual Bitcoin or something like that. And Molten Swap rugged. And yep. I managed to actually emergency withdraw my stuff out because it was natives and the dev like got to those last, but my husband lost a huge chunk of change and he was pissed. Like, obviously he was very upset, very, very, you know, just kind of raging around the house being like, ah, ruggers, I hate ruggers. Why? And so that kind of sparked our experience with DeFi can be incredibly profitable, but can be incredibly risky. And so following that up, I have a PhD in engineering, so I have a pretty solid programming background, and decided to literally sit down, learn Solidity, be able to review these smart contracts for myself, for ourselves, and for our own personal investments. And yeah, that's what really started it. So I just started reviewing contracts before I aped into stuff. And then I was just like, you know, maybe people want to hear about this as well. And so started just like opened up a Telegram channel. And every time I was reviewing a farm for my own investments, basically said, well, hey, I looked at this farm and it seemed fine. So, you know, go for it. Or like, hey, I am going into this farm, or I was going to go into this farm, and it actually still has a totally intact migrator code. So this seems too risky for me. Bye. And then next thing you know, the community became absolutely massive, and we outgrew just being able to be me alone. I started having to like hire people because, you know, with more people comes more work. And yeah, so the Telegram just got large, the scope of work increased, just hired more people. You know, it's always been a community-facing project, so, you know, we've just kind of grown in demand to what the community is looking for. So as Scams has evolved and as the community has evolved, we've just been kind of growing and learning with this and responding to the needs that our community says that they want when they're yield farming. And so here we are. I guess there was also an intermediary step where we went from the Telegram and, you know, we started uploading the Google Sheet document, like the coveted Google Sheet. But we also quickly outgrew the coveted Google Sheet and, you know, we actually kept crashing our Google Sheet. So we started a website, and that's what I guess really kicked off our exponential growth into how we operate and the services we provide and then education and all these other avenues once we, you know, move from a Google Sheet document to a website.
Definitely. You know, in just the growth of DeFi in general, it's awesome to see a project like this. You know, I,
thank you.
Yeah. I still actively look for, you know, high yields and high APRs. And, you know, I'm cautious, even though I know what to look for too, you know, and just seeing that rug doc, you know, that badge on the site puts me at ease. It gives me, you know, it gives me a little bit of better feeling when I go into it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the goal. And it's always nice to hear that, you know, my goal has always been making the community safer. And so when I hear from other people, especially more, you know, advanced yield farmers, it's really nice to hear like, oh yeah, you're actually doing really well. And I use your product because it's like, sweet, our community project actually worked. People actually use this to like make their investments a little bit safer and give themselves a little more peace of mind when choosing projects.
Definitely, definitely. Now, it's awesome to have you here with ApeSwap. Do you care to tell us how that came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I love being here with ApeSwap. So, I mean, I've always been an ApeSwap fan for my own personal investments, and I've regularly entered various ape pools. But I think what really kicked off our relationship was actually kind of, you know, a strange circumstance where, let's see, what was it? Someone on my team was just digging around for their own purposes in Ape and basically said, like, hey, it looks like Ape's pool that's supposed to be like reinvested or something is just going to like a wallet. And we were like, oh no, that's not great. So we kind of like sent out a public tweet that was just like, ApeSwap, what's going on with your contract? We found something strange in here. And you guys were just like, oh my gosh, this was a complete oversight. We didn't even realize that. Like, we are normally like all on top of this stuff. Thank you so much for pointing it out. We really appreciate that. We are going to fix this ASAP. We're going to like deal with this. And on top of that, to say sorry to the community, we are going to donate like X percentage of our monthly revenue to whatever charity you choose. And we were like, holy crap, that's probably like the best response we've ever gotten from someone we found like, you know, an issue with. We're like, wow, this is like absolutely ridiculous. Like, who is this team? They're so responsible. And we were like, this is awesome. Yeah, like, let's, you know, like, let's go donate money to the Diane Fossey Save the Gorillas Fund for ApeSwap. And sure enough, a couple weeks later, you guys, like, held true to your word. We coordinated, like, you know, a sizable donation on your end to the Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund. And they were so thankful. And that was one of the most heartwarming experiences I've ever had in DeFi, being able to, like, just see you guys donate to this, you know, like Africa Gorilla Fund. And I was like, this team is freaking awesome. Like, I love what they stand for. I love that they stay true to their word. I love that they care about the community. You know, I love the fact that like when mistakes happen, they can like own up and go above and beyond and fixing it, because, you know, everybody makes mistakes. It's a matter of like how you respond to them that really shows the character of, you know, your company, your organization, or the individual. So it's like, this is a brilliant team. I like what they're doing. And we just started talking because we kind of had opened up the avenues with that experience to each other. And, you know, it's just like, well, you know, guys, how about we take the next step? And we like working with each other. And I think our team visions for like safety and community orientation really align. Let's just like partner up. Like, let's make DeFi safer. Like, let's, you know, make your project incredibly backed up and extra vetted, and like, let's promote community education. And so here we are, and it's been such an awesome ride because I genuinely have loved from like literally our first interaction working with the ApeSwap team.
Yeah. You know, we're all about safe. You know, we want everybody to be safe. We don't want no ape left behind. And, you know, thanks for helping keep our apes safe.
Yeah, 100%. And that's something that, like, you know, obviously when we just started talking and opened up like the communication channels with your team, that became apparent so early on. And, you know, even when with that, like, one initial interaction, when we were like, well, how did this even come? They're just like, guys, like, we audit everything every single time we make an update. Like, we re-audit everything because safety is so paramount. And I was like, what team does that? Like, that's crazy. So no, like, very much appreciate your No Ape Left Behind initiative.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So you guys monitor multiple chains.
Yep.
Now, how do you guys do that? Do you guys do it with a EVM or?
Yeah, no, I mean, so we are reviewing quite a few things now. So we started with our farm reviews, and that I think is still our main niche. Like, if you want to hear about like an in-depth safety review of your farm, that is like what people really know us for. But we are doing a lot more things now. We're also listing tokens, NFTs, you know, GameFi launches. But yeah, so our main gig is still farms. And for farms, we've basically kind of, I guess, worked with the community long enough that the community just kind of brings us the things that they want to hear about now. So we kind of get to see where the community is poking around and moving into next. And so as these new chains have developed, you know, our community will suddenly just like request a, I don't know, like an Arbitrum farm or like a Heiko farm or, you know, a Moon River farm. And we're just like, well, I guess we're moving on to Moon River now. I guess we add like another network tab on our website. And I think we're up to like 15 networks that we have reviews for now. Because, yeah, like, you know, the community keeps bringing us stuff. But you are correct in that for our reviews, because we aren't an audit, we are a review, and there is a difference in terms of the scope of that. But it does require a team of ours to basically go through the contracts and figure out what's going on in them, and to have, you know, the programming language experience and confidence to do that. So we do keep currently our reviews to Ethereum Virtual Machine, so EVM compatible networks, because, you know, our team is trained up on Solidity. Most of these chains are indeed EVM compatible, written in Solidity. Even chains that are not like L2 solutions, like Avalanche, they're still written in Solidity. There's only a couple exceptions to that, like Solana, which is on Rust, I believe, and a few other upcomers that are written in like Haskell Pact languages. But still, the bulk of everything we do is in L2 or like EVM compatible languages. So that's what we do. And yeah, it seems to cover the vast bulk of these networks and chains and projects.
You know, and I don't know if I could say this enough, but it's very encouraging to see a project like this that actually seeks out and delivers reports on not only new projects, but established projects. And, you know, just hats off to you guys and your hard work.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, again, like, you know, we really are a crowdsourced project. And so, you know, we'll kind of go over anything the community drags to us. And now that we are sort of doing these like more in-depth farm reviews, as well as more like listings and descriptions. So for GameFi, we try and like give a little background on the game, some of the play behind it. For like NFTs, we try and like describe the collection. And, you know, we do like basic safety checks on these things, but it's, you can't review an NFT or a token the same way you review a farm. You just can't. So we'll make sure that like no very easy scams are present. Like, we'll make sure the code is verified, and we'll make sure that, say, like the token is not, you know, a honeypot scam or something silly like that when we're doing our listings. But it's a little bit different. And so for those sorts of reviews, we really try and couple that more with our education arm versus like our strict security arm. And so we're really just trying, like, if somebody drags, you know, some new NFT to us, or, you know, even something that's not EVM compatible, like a Solana project, you know, we will still give it our best go and be like, well, we can't give the same degree, so we'll rate these as like not eligible versus give it a safety rating. But we'll say, this is what the project's about. This is what the team is saying. We've checked the contract is verified. We've checked that the token is not a honeypot scam. We've checked that the NFT can be sold. And here's just a little bit about the collection in case, you know, you want to know and people just want to read about it.
Definitely, definitely. You know, and it's still a learning experience for everybody, you know, because it's still so new. And I just love the way you guys are going about it.
Well, thank
you. It's great. Now, you guys offer services for farms. You care to go about go over that?
Yep. So everything that you can find on the website is pretty much community oriented and community facing. You know, our reviews or our education articles or tutorials. We also want to make sure that we're supporting our farms, because good farms or good tokens are just like in general make for that safe community. It makes our job easier if we don't have to deal with all these scams. So we do. We offer quite a lot of support packages for our developers in the community. And some of it is like consulting services. So if people want to sit down and make sure that their contracts are going to work well, or they're really trying to just like make sure that they're keeping community safety in mind, they can consult with us and we'll just make sure that their codes are going to pass our, you know, different assessments for community-oriented safety. Or we also, if a farm has completed certain levels of user-oriented safety, if they've gotten like a medium risk or a low risk or, you know, a some risk on our website, they're eligible for marketing services. So we are happy to boost farms and tokens and NFTs and games and just like other projects that really have demonstrated, you know, some level of, you know, user-oriented safety from like a code perspective or from a philosophical perspective. Like, that is our goal. Of course, every project that we promote may not survive. You know, they can still like do like liquidity sort of situations that are not great, because we can't predict those. Nobody can predict those. We can only really filter out these contract-based scams.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, sale-based scams when it comes to like NFTs and tokens. So it's not bulletproof, but we absolutely love being able to promote these sorts of farms that are, you know, not going to just straight up rug the community. Like, that's a good thing. You know, I've always said that I kind of want to do positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement. I want to be able to boost the good projects, and I want to be able to slap warning labels to the not so great projects.
Definitely, definitely. I love where your head is with that, for sure. Now,
I understand that you guys, we did touch on the NFTs a little.
Yep.
Any chance that you guys would ever review or
audit an NFA?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. We are indeed reviewing NFTs now. So like I said, it's a little bit different than our farm reviews in that the contracts, it's a little bit different because you can't be scammed quite the same way with NFTs, just the way that the codes are written and the functions that are performed to mint and have an NFT. You know, like an NFT can't really rug you. Your problems are more similar to a token in that you're worried about sales. So what we're really doing for that is we're just trying to give like a description or a roadmap of the project. You know, we try and talk about like, you know, the max, how many have been minted, like what the mint price is, the launch details, if there's a whitelist or a pre-sale and what those prices are going to be. We try and talk about like the reward features, like airdrops, if there are any additional features that we want to tell you about, like perhaps there's like some sort of a DAO that's associated with it or a game that's associated with it. We'll tell you the contract and if the contract is verified. And then we're doing these like hype status things as just kind of a trial right now. And hype status is basically just a link to the Twitter and the Discord and how many people are in it to give you like an idea of just how many members are going to be in this project at the time of listing prior to their launch or after their launch. All right. That's how we're kind of trying to cover NFTs right now, but we absolutely review NFTs. We want to review more NFTs. So if you have any NFTs that need to be reviewed and listed, let us know.
Definitely. Definitely. You know, cause I know, there was a scam going around where these new projects would pop up and offer free NFTs, but they would actually drain your account. So,
yes. Yeah. So you can get things that basically you give permission to, kind of like a farm, like when you're giving permission to swap tokens on a farm. So you should really read what you are giving permission to when that like MetaMask or Trust Wallet permission pops up, because they can literally just swap out a normal NFT contract for something that is literally you're giving permission to, you know, spend all of your BUSD, and the contract is kind of shady. So yes, that is not great.
Yeah, it's just horrible that, you know, that people actually go to that length to do stuff like that. And I used to be an admin for ApeSwap, and just the amount of scams, DM scams are the worst. It's just horrible. Yes.
Oh my goodness, I know. I get those all the time in my DMs too. It's like, oh, how did this even happen? Like, it is just such a shame that there's so many of these that go around. Petty scams, but they're not. There's nothing petty about them. I actually, there's somebody that I know in one of my teams, and he literally lost like $30,000 from one of those NFT drain accounts.
Just horrible.
Just awful.
Now, you guys offer various tools to assist affected users, such as emergency withdrawal tools. Is that available for all the chains that are supported right now, or is that just for...
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Cool. So we are constantly updating our tools, and we want to make more tools. So right now we have two main tools, and one is going to be our emergency withdrawal tool, and that's going to emergency withdraw you from any chain that we work with. And on top of that, the contract doesn't have to be verified, which is awesome. And if we haven't updated our tool recently to be able to work with whatever the newest chain that had some sort of a scam on it is, we always like know who has the emergency withdrawal tools, and we will provide that. Like if there is, you know, a scam happen, something's happened, we haven't updated our tool yet, but we know that, you know, Moon River has this app, so use this. This is where you're going to go, guys. And we always say that, like, in our Twitter announcements when we found, like, that there is some sort of a scam going around. But, yeah, we try and keep that thing updated. And then the other thing that we also work with and keep updated for all the chains that we are on is the Honeypot Token Checker tool. And so this is more of, like, a token trading tool, and it basically just like checks to make sure that your token is not a honeypot scam, which means that you can indeed sell your token after you've bought it, because a honeypot is kind of like a cheap and easy scam that lets you only buy a token. So you basically just spend your money and you can never get rid of it. And it also means that the price always looks like it's going up and up and up, because nobody can sell their dang token.
I actually encountered one of those a couple months ago. I was like, why can't I sell it?
Yep. Yeah, I've gotten those too. They're so annoying and stupid. Like, they're so frustrating, because you're like, sweet, let's like ape into this shit token and go to the moon. And then it looks on the chart like it's like going to the moon, and then no dice.
Yeah, it puts slippage at 60%.
Yep.
All right. So, time to get to the nitty gritty stuff with RugDocs risk assessments.
Okay.
Can you walk us through each level of risk?
Yeah, totally. So we have, let's see, I believe six main ratings for six main ratings for all of our projects, but our farms are going to encompass all six. And then our NFTs and token collections are going to be, like, not eligible or, like, high risk if it's a scam. So at the very bottom, we have our least risk. And these are projects that are like the least likely to hard or soft rug. And they're usually your large cornerstone projects of an ecosystem where it's not going to make any financial sense for them to scam you in any manner, as they're going to just like make more money just like existing and being legit. These are like the pancake swaps of your world, right? Like these are your like big staples and they're huge and they have TVL and... you know, they're probably not going anywhere anytime soon. So they are what you see. Then more common, you're going to get low-risk projects. And these are like your established projects in the ecosystem. They generally have a track record of success, or they've KYC'd to us personally so we know who they are, which is kind of a demonstration of commitment against scamming if they've given their identity to us. Or they've KYC'd some other authoritative source, like in the real world. So maybe they're working with a large, well-known venture firm, right? So it means that it's extremely unlikely that they're going to soft rug or hard rug their projects. They're not going to probably try and pull a scam because their identity is known or they're like very established and they've been around for like months. They could still fail. Their token price could still go down. But that's usually like a market force situation and not on the end of the project. Our most common risk rating is the default rating, and that's going to be some risk because, hey, DeFi always has some element of risk, and we really wanted to try and convey that. You know, our whole rating system never says no risk, right? It's just least risk.
Yeah.
Because DeFi, it's like I said, there's always some element of risk to anything you do in this space. So some risk is our default setting, and it's unlikely to have hard rug risk because we've checked the contracts and the contracts check out fine. But the team may be unknown. The team may just be brand new and have no track record. The project may be brand new. It's entirely possible that they can try and soft rug you by dumping tokens or abandoning the project or just like pulling a pre-sale scam and just like setting up pre-sale and like never actually provide contracts for. Even a last-minute contract swap to a malicious contract could be possible, right? Because they're just going to provide the contract that we've reviewed. The only thing that some risk tells us is that with the contract provided, the master shove they've given us, they can't complete a hard rug, or it is very, very, very unlikely that they can complete a hard rug. As long as you just really make sure that you're talking about and depositing into the contract that we have reviewed. For medium risk, it's kind of like a some risk, but the underlying code itself is generally custom or kind of complex. So it like warrants like an elevated risk rating because we can't just like very easily go through every single line of this code and basically vouch for it against a known audited, just established code base. So it's still very unlikely to hard rug from like what we can see. But there's more chances of a custom code behaving incorrectly or causing some other issue is really what we see with these medium risk projects. A high risk project is going to be a project that contains code or like has some sort of a practice that is a high level of risk. So it might have a migrator code or it might have an upgradable proxy. And these code elements are not necessarily always going to be used for a scam. Like complex projects are going to want to use an upgradable proxy more times than not. But it means that these elements are here that can lead to catastrophic losses. So you need to read the description carefully of why we flagged this, because we will always point out what these high risk elements are. So these are the projects that you really need to think twice about. And it doesn't mean that all projects, like I said, are going to be a scam if they contain high-risk elements. But based off of the statistics that we've gathered on this, if a project contains high-risk rug elements in their code, it is highly likely they will deploy it within 3 weeks of the project launching.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Like we've tracked these statistics just for our own knowledge. And when we flag something that has a migrator code in it, within 3 weeks, they've pretty much all rugged, usually sooner, but pretty much everything goes under by then. And then finally, our last risk category is a not eligible category. And these are generally projects that are like complex and require, you know, a senior analyst to like go through, or require like a couple $1,000s to actually audit. So this is just beyond the scope of what my team covers, because, you know, we're here to basically do quick bulk reviews and not actually sit down and audit. Because when you're trying to get through 8 projects a day, 10 projects a day, 20 projects a day, you know, we can't sit down and spend hours with any one of these reviews. We're really just trying to like go through and quickly flag deviations in the code and what these deviations mean. So for a not eligible, it just means that it's probably a vault or something that like is going to have many contracts, or just very, very custom code. And, you know, it's out of the scope of a peer review. You would need to really get an audit from a top audit company for us to be able to like pass this off and say like, yeah, we think this is fine. We also use not eligible for a lot of our other projects like NFTs and tokens, because unless we find that it's a honeypot scam or something like that, it's very difficult for us to assign a risk rating to a token or an NFT collection. So they're generally just not eligible for review.
Okay. So I just a quick question. So now we know the flow of valid alerts as your service offerings, but what happens when an alert is invalid?
Like if we call something that is actually fine. Yep. So in that case, we generally try, I don't think we've been in any sort of a scale, but I guess if we set out an alert and the project seems fine, I guess the closest to that would be BuySwap, which does need contain high risk code elements, and we flag them as high risk, and you know, they're still here and they're fine and they're clearly, you know, not a scam.
Yeah.
As their community has liked to tell us many, many, many times. And so we do revise. You know, we'll basically say like, okay, we hear you, you're still here, you know, safety demonstration, even though you had high risk elements in your code or some other thing that we flagged you for, and we downgrade. We basically like put an update that says like, you know, project has been around and hasn't done anything, and the community is fine and thriving, and you know, we are reducing our assessment. Our assessments are not static. Nothing's written in stone. Things get reevaluated all the time. It's far more likely, though, the other way around. So we will pass something off based off of an initial contract assessment that says that it's a some risk or, like, you know, a medium risk. And then they'll swap contracts or pull some other, like, last-minute shitty scam. And then we'll just basically say, like, they swapped their contracts, guys. Don't freaking stake in this. We're upgrading them to high risk. Like, don't touch them. Like, we don't know what's in these brand new contracts that they, like, just deployed, like, 5 minutes prior to their launch. And that's usually not a good sign.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, like, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. And,
definitely.
You know, yep. And so we try and own up to our mistakes. Like I said, that's something that I think speaks volumes about a team or an individual. And I want to be, you know, an open, honest individual. And so when mistakes are made, we try and say, like, yeah, we were incorrect about that one. BuySwap, you're correct. Like, you are A-okay, still here months later, and we're, you know, you are not a high-risk project.
Right. Yeah, I was actually looking through all the stuff, and I was surprised to see the rate, you know, because how high they are on, like, our... And I was like, oh, all right. You know, I'm just looking through all the stuff. It's an awesome tool to have.
Yeah.
Just to go through your website, just because I'm like I said at the beginning, I'm always looking for new. You know, I'm a degen at heart, so I'm looking for a rush, and I want to make sure it's a safe rush. You know. So now we did touch on that you guys do offer educations. Do you want to go over some of the educational content that you guys have?
Yeah, absolutely. So for our educational content, we have a whole other website. So we have wiki.rugdoc.io, and this is like our DeFi wiki. And we're really trying to always update and add articles and coverage for chains that are onboarding and all sorts of stuff that you're going to want, because DeFi is fluid and it's always evolving, and people always need new tutorials or maybe just want to know about like different concerns or strategies or things to think about. We try and really cover everything from like user-oriented education to developer-oriented education. So we're trying to cultivate, you know, a dev corner that basically interviews other established projects and how they do what they do and why they did what they did and just things to think about when you're creating a project. And we also have user articles that are focused from things that are as small and basic as how to set up a MetaMask wallet or how to harvest a yield, to as complex as like, let's think about strategy in comparison of different, you know, like large AMMs, right? Or like, how do you really evaluate a stable token? So we're always trying to just like cover anything that we hear from the community that they want to know more about. So we'll try and pay attention to the questions that are asked in our chat or the comments that we'll get on our Twitter and cover those, or just try and predict them entirely. And so when we know a new chain is rolling out, like IOTEX, before they even launched projects being built on IOTEX, we were already like, that team had contacted us first. And so we wanted to just try and show people how to use the bridge, how to, you know, do various functions on IOTEX chain that are going to be a little bit different from, you know, say BSC or Polygon. We also have a YouTube, and that's for people who are going to learn better through more visual means. And we're going to want to show you how to, you know, do these withdrawals or do emergency withdrawal or stake a project or, you know, like verify a contract. Like all these different things, we want to just help the community and help the developers on both sides of that coin to just be more educated about the space. Because when you have users who are educated about the space, it becomes harder to produce these scams. If users know what they're looking for, and if developers understand best practices and users are demanding these best practices, you know, when there's a deviation from that, it looks weird and people know that it's different and they know to ask about it. And developers don't really have much of an excuse as to why they've decided to do something that flies in the face of what all the other developers are doing or what all the community is asking for.
Yeah, I mean, DeFi is constantly evolving. You guys are that. Yep. We have Ape Labs. You know, like, education is key. Like, knowledge is power, especially with DeFi. And, you know, I commend you guys. You guys are doing a great job as well.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I love, like, your new educational efforts as well. And I've been keeping track of, like, the articles that you guys have been producing, because you're right. Knowledge is power. Education is key. If you want to onboard new people into DeFi and, like, make this whole space grow, or onboard new people into just crypto, you know, they need to understand it, because there have been so many polls by banks, hedge funds, and, you know, like, large crypto groups like BlockFi. They poll their user base, and every single time, the thing most people from getting more into crypto, and especially DeFi, which requires way more education and way more steps to get there than just buying a crypto token, it's they don't feel they understand it enough. They think that it's complex. And in some elements, yeah, it is. So how do you get mainstream adoption? You reduce the complexity. You show people how to do it. You show people what you do in different different mediums to reach them. And you basically make them feel reassured that they are capable, they are competent, and you empower them to be able to make their own decisions and to be able to do these things.
Yeah,
it's just about removing barriers.
Yeah. I have a few people that I work with, and you know, they're older gentlemen, and they're like, I want to do what you do, but I feel like I can't do it. I'm like, just sit down. I'll show you, you know, make sure you read everything. You know, after you go through it a couple cycles, it gets a little bit easier, but yeah, it's way harder. It's especially right now. It's kind of, you're like a crypto expert to get in there, you know, and you got to bring in all these guys.
Yeah. Anyone who's like in this space now, you know, we are still early in DeFi. You know, I'd say crypto like is here now. Like, you know, I don't think just like people buying Bitcoin and stuff is like, you know, the future anymore. I think we are in the present for that. But I think DeFi is still the future. And so we are still building towards that adoption. And if you are in the space right now, you are early. And yeah, if you understand how to yield farm, how to buy NFTs, how to create a project, you are an expert in the space. And you know, I want to make sure that you have the information to tell your mom how to do this. And that's so funny that you talk about older people, because I really try in my community in real life to onboard people into crypto and into DeFi. And I'm literally meeting later today, like in a couple hours, two retirees who are already in crypto. They've already bought their Bitcoin. They understand that. They like it. They've seen the gains that they've made by purchasing their Bitcoin. And they said the same thing. They're like, I want to do the same thing you do. And so we're going to sit down in a couple hours and set them up a MetaMask wallet and teach them how to withdraw from their Coinbase and how to stake and create liquidity pairs and how to, you know, like buy an NFT and how to bridge assets between chains.
Yep. Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. Like whenever I get to talk about crypto, I'm super pumped because, well, usually I'm the one that knows most about crypto in the room. And, you know, so I get to speak knowledge and stuff, but it's just bringing other people into what I do. It just makes me happy, you know?
Yeah. It's a good feeling to be on the end, to be able to have, I guess, gotten to this point yourself and been able to see the gains and see the change in your lifestyle and then be able to share that with other people. Yeah. It feels really good to be able to say like, yeah, let me help you win too. I want to help people when I want to help everybody win. And I think you can, because DeFi and crypto fundamentally is bringing power back to the people. It's a totally open democratic platform. And if you can just reduce the number of scams, or at least educate people on how to reduce their own risk for scams, you know, you're left with this completely democratic platform where everybody can set off on the same footing and nobody can really take advantage of it. And that's beautiful.
Yep. What does the future hold for RugDoc in the coming months?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, we've already started our initiatives of listing NFTs, games, and tokens, and I really want to start to like go into these spaces. We're still going to keep covering our yield farms, but we want to continue to move with where DeFi is moving, and DeFi is moving into these new weird little spaces. And so I want to be able to engage my team, not just on education, not just on listings, but actually engage my team in these areas. So, you know, we've made an effort to really create an Axie Scholar team, and we are actually expanding our Axie Scholar team right now because it's gone so well and there's a demand for it. So we want to be able to fit that demand. So we're going to definitely be increasing our Axie and some of our other GameFi presence. Like I think we're going to start building teams for other large games that we're seeing pop up right now. The other thing that I'm really trying to do is not just from like a RugDoc, like what can a user do sort of perspective, but as a business owner, which is really what I am right now in DeFi, as a business owner, I want to be able to help more people develop businesses in DeFi. So I think I might start producing more educational content from just a, you know, so you understand DeFi, what are your job prospects here? Like, how do you develop a business? How do you accomplish those goals? And what are the things to think about from everything in your setup and analysis to like how, like tax considerations? Because there's all sorts of weird stuff that goes on when you see this side of the coin. And then finally, I really want to be able to push more outreach. So I want to be able to start more hands-on beginner education sort of things. Like I want to be able to do seminars, like free seminars for people like I do in real life with friends and people that I meet in the community of what is DeFi and how to get set up. I want to be able to work with a couple of charity organizations in setting people up in areas where the economy really doesn't exist or is pretty depressed right now from COVID or other reasons. You know, teaching people basic crypto, teaching people DeFi, and teaching people how to create a DeFi business so that they can really participate in a global economy versus being own geographic economy. So we have everything from like very basic goals, like, oh, we're going to make our Axie team and other game team bigger, to really philosophical directions of, you know, it's time for RugDoc to do a lot more outreach and actually push how to develop DeFi to people around the world who are looking for this as a solution.
That's awesome. You know, that I'm looking forward to it. For anybody who wants to see your content, do you want to plug all your socials now?
I'm always looking for opportunities to plug my socials. So you're going to want to go to rugdoc.io for our main website, which has our tools, including our brand new LP breaker, our emergency withdrawal tool, and our honeypot token checker, as well as all of our community-oriented safety reviews. If you're looking for more educational content, you're going to want to check out our wiki, which is wiki.rugdoc.io. Also, highly recommend looking at our YouTube, which is full of everything from serious tutorials to funny challenges we give ourselves, which is going to be rugdoc.io on YouTube. And then finally, I'm probably unhealthily active on Twitter, and our Twitter user is going to be rugdoc.io. So yeah, hope that you guys follow along and continue this conversation.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I enjoyed having you.
Yeah, I love talking with you.
This has been very, very informative, and I really appreciate it.
Hey, good to hear. Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a good conversation.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I'll let you get back to what you were doing today, and I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, I hope you have a great day too.